how may the scribes that Christ say that Christ is the Son of God? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord to my Lord. Now that word Lord is translated two different ways, as saying from one thing saying to another thing, is referring that it's speaking to God and talking about how man to God and sit thou on my right hand. It's from the Psalms 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Jesus is leading him here. He's leading to a group of people. He's not trying to trap them like they tried to do in chapter number 12. He's trying to teach them something. He's saying, how come the scribes say this, but in all reality, that this is what was said to Jesus. Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. Now, if Jesus was before David, which we know he was because he was God, it was from the beginning, and whence is he then his son? So what he's doing is he was showing them that he was the Messiah, that the Messiah was God. He was leading them to confess that when Messiah comes, not only would he be of the son of David when he arrives, not only would he be the rightful king when he arrives, but he will not only be human, but the son of David, the part of the tribe, he will also be divine. He is the Lord. He is greater than David. Of course, we know that he's talking about himself. And of course, these religious people had no interest in that. They hated that. Whenever he talked like this, it was like, hey, let's put him to death. They didn't want the truth. They didn't want to hear the answers. They didn't want to know the truth and the reality that goes along with those things. And that's why it's so interesting, I find, at the end of verse number 37, that the common people heard him gladly. He even tells them in verse number 38, beware of the scribes. He even says, hey, look, you need to pay attention here. You need to make sure you consider what these scribes are saying. Because up here they're saying, hey, how can this guy be Christ, because he was born after David or born after Moses, as we saw in a different passage of scripture a long time ago. Here he's saying, beware of the scribes. And then he begins to explain to him why they need to beware. It says, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at the feast. So what he's saying here is be careful for these guys. There's something they love. Last week we learned, what are you supposed to love? We're supposed to love the Lord our God. If you see here, you drop down a few verses in verse 30, he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is the first commandment, verse 31. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. This is what we're supposed to love. But what do the scribes love? And once again, when you're considering common people, the scribes wouldn't have been the common people. They would have been more of the upper class. They would have been the ones that were revered. They would have been the ones people looked to as one of the religious leaders. They would have been someone who was known for knowing the Bible and the law. There's someone that would love, as you see here, the things that they love, the things that they enjoy. And he says, this is what you need to be aware of. And the reason why the common people are enjoying this and they're receiving his word gladly, because it's saying the truth that they knew and that they saw and that they understood, and they're overwhelmed by how can these Pharisees and how can these scribes and how can these religious leaders do all these things that seem as if they're anti-God, but we're supposed to look to them as religious leaders. And then it continues on in verse number 40, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. They take advantage of someone that is in a group that is vulnerable, and they would actually take advantage of the widows in order to thrive and be able to increase their popularity, maybe, or their esteem, their fame. You say, well, I would never do that to a widow. Well, maybe not a widow, but what about someone else inside your church family? Maybe someone else that doesn't have the same notoriety that you do. Maybe someone else that God really wants you to serve. Now, obviously, the widow is there, and it's mentioned to show what they would do in those days and times. But I think this is a challenge that's given here, and it says, look, beware of these scribes. Why is that? Because they love to parade in their ways. They love their long clothing. These scribes like to parade in public in robes that would distinguish them as religious leaders. We still have people in the day and time that like to have, you know, once again, this is not talking about modesty. I don't think there's anything wrong with somebody looking at someone that's dressed modestly and they turn around, they look at that, they say, you know what, that might be a Christian because of the way they're dressed. Because there are times when people will look at other people the way they're dressed, and they're dressed immodestly, like, well, hopefully that's not a Christian because you're reflecting God. So it's not saying that. It's saying that they would want these long robes that would show a tradition that they have a higher position than others, and they would like to rub other people's faces in it. They also love the salutations in the marketplaces. These people love the special titles when you greeted them. They love loved being called the positions about them being a rabbi or a master. And it's, what are we supposed to love in this world? And if we're supposed to love the Lord of all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, what do we see the example of Jesus here? Jesus is not turning around and telling people, hey, you better call me this and you better call me that. He instead is, he's teaching to the common people. He's teaching to the masses, the multitudes in here. And he's trying to reach out. He's trying to give something for everyone to hear. And the scribes are completely different. The scribes made these people feel like they were nothing and that they were below them. Jesus is here. I love you. I'm here to save you. You know, all those different things. There's a complete difference here. And it continues on. Not only does he do that, but they love their positions. Look at this. It says here in verse 39, and the chief seats in the synagogues. Now, I don't know about you. Anywhere else you come, you know, where is the best seats at? It's up front in the front rows. And I guess in church it's a little bit different. The best seats are the ones in the back rows, right? Because that's where everybody comes and take it. And even if you don't got the back rows, you go back farther. And then some even want to stay out in the lobby. It's a little backwards. And so Miss Wendy up here sitting in the front. And you got the fires over there. And I know everybody has their seats. And that's good. And that's fine. But it's sort of like you saying, hey, I got my seat. No one better sit in it. And don't ever, if there's a visitor here sitting, you go up to them and say, hey, that's my seat. Can you move? That is the wrong attitude to have. That is not your seat. Even if you went underneath the pew and put your name on it, because that's what people say, well, is your name on it? Well, some people would probably do that just to keep their seat. That's not the idea here. That's what these scribes are thinking, that something more highly of themselves than what they were. They weren't looking at things as a servant. They weren't looking at ways to love. They weren't looking at people that they could help. Instead, they would pick and choose their things, and they would even use widows as some type of ploy, and widows to be able to build their reputations on, and they would use others that were weaker, and they would want and demand that people would call them certain things, they would wear certain things, and when they got invited somewhere, they would assume that they were going to be in the best spots, and no one else is worthy to sit around them, no one else is worthy. And it's just anti what God really truly wants, but it's something that's seen, and even seen in churches today. It's being hypocritical, wanting to look religious on the outside, but inside, it's just not even near God. And that's what these men were portraying. They love these upper seats, and it continues on. And for a pretense, make long prayers. You know, and it's interesting, and that's in verse number 40, that they're saying that they make long prayers. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying, and there's nothing wrong with praying long, but there is something wrong with praying when you're only praying to yourself or praying for the people around you to hear instead of praying to God to hear. And sometimes you sit there and you listen, and someone who's oftentimes, if you're there in a public meeting and someone's praying long prayers, that could be of God, but it could also be a show. Be careful. Talking to the Lord means you're talking to the Lord. It does not need to be filled with vain repetitions. It does not need to be filled with things that are just memorized. These are things that we're trying to get a hold of the Lord, and we're allowing the Lord to get a hold of us. So you see that they are pilfering in their ways, which devour widows' houses. Not only did they want the honor, they also wanted money. They would target sometimes even widows, especially because widows are vulnerable. And this is like a religious fleecing. They're out there trying to see, what can I get from somebody else? What can I get? What is it that I can do to manipulate this person to do the things that I want? And could I be friends with them? Could I do this? We're supposed to serve the Lord. It's not us getting a gathering. It's not us getting a following. It's not us trying to get more Instagram followers. It's us pointing people to Jesus. And that's when he turns around and he's saying here, look, beware of these scribes. And he gives a discussion in verses 35 and 36 and 37. They don't even understand. Verse number 34, thou art not far from the kingdom, but they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. This was the part that we're missing. If they didn't get who Jesus was, they're not getting eternal life. And so because of that, he begins to tell them, look, be careful of this. Beware of this. Be careful. And I don't want you to go around judging people and say, okay, they're wearing a suit because they want some position. I'm not saying that. But also, when you see someone, the way that they're acting and behaving is not Christ-like in what they're doing, there's a problem. Don't let those people manipulate you. Do not let those people influence you. Look for someone who loves the Lord. Look for someone who's humble. Look for someone who wants to care about the things of God. Look for someone who is trying to help others. Look for someone who is trying to do the things of the Lord. Look for someone who's trying to produce the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the meekness. Look for people that are desiring to serve God with all their heart, all their strength, all their mind, all their soul, as I talked about just a few verses ago. Those are the people we want to, once again, we reach out to all, we pray for all, but we let, what does the blessed man do? He delights himself in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night, but he doesn't mess with those that are acting ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. And that's what these men up here are, because of the fact that they have become sinners, because they have done things, they've missed the mark, they missed the whole purpose of it. And yes, they stood in the way of sinners, and now they're sitting in the sea of the scornful. These are men who loved the praise and loved the exaltation and loved being worshiped and loved being all those things, but they never directed people to God. And there is something missing there. So here's the things that we look at this. Three different things here. Number one, if you're taking notes, is the common people heard. Look what it said at the end of, and the common people heard. So they heard. We have to be willing to hear. If you don't come to church, you're not going to hear. If you don't read your Bible, you're not going to hear from the Lord. If you don't talk to other good Christian people, you're not going to hear. They heard. They were sitting there and they were listening. They heard. The next thing I want you to see here is, and this you might say this sounds kind of trivial, or it says the common people heard him. They heard what Christ was saying. Now, inside this group, there are scribes and there's Pharisees. Inside this group, there's the common people. Now, did the scribes and Pharisees hear what he said? They sure did. Oftentimes, they would go back in every report, and oftentimes, they would go and say what they were said, but they didn't hear him. They didn't hear what God was saying. Instead, they would hear things, and they would listen to things, and they would hear all the different things that Jesus would say. And sometimes it's sort of like when you're hearing a sermon, you might pick and choose. Oh, I bet you he's saying it this because of that, and I bet you he's saying this because of that. If you don't think the Lord's leading, then there's a problem, because I try to preach what I believe the Lord tells me to preach, not because of my own personal opinion. I've told people that before. Some people say, oh, you're preaching at me. I says, I wouldn't waste the whole sermon on an individual. It's just, it's more important than that. It's God was supposed to give me what he wants me to say. And yes, there are times and there's energies and there's things that obviously being human, that fleshly things may happen, but try to keep that out of preaching. We preach the word of God, and here they heard him. And that's what we should always want to do. We want to hear what God has to say. When we're reading the scripture, they heard him. They didn't hear what they wanted. Everybody questions his authority in chapter 11 and chapter number 12 over and over. They're questioning his authority. They heard everything they said. They listened on purpose, and they were distinctly listening, but they weren't distinctly listening to hear him. They were distinctly listening to find fault. They were distinctly listening to find things to discourage others with, to talk about it behind. And how ridiculous is that? Someone comes to church and then goes and gossips about things and talks about other things, but would never talk to a pastor. But you've heard that before. We hear people say that. I know it probably doesn't happen here, but roast the preacher around the dinner table. I mean, come on. That's not what we come to hear. We come to hear the truth of the Bible being preached. And these people, they didn't hear what the scribes are saying. They didn't hear what the seer. They wanted Jesus. But these men, they missed him. Chapter number 11, they missed him. Chapter number 12, they missed him. They kept on asking these questions, but they weren't seeking truth. They kept on saying, what about the taxation? And it wasn't a bad question to ask. That's a question we would want to ask today. Do I really got to pay all these taxes? When can we start a revolution? And, you know, those are all things. You know, what about this? I don't understand about this, about the law, and blah, blah, blah. And there's other things that go on. And what about this? You know, what is the greatest commandment? All these different things that are connecting there. So, but they want truth. Do you want to hear from him? That's the idea. It says, not only did they hear him, not only did they hear, but they heard him. And that's what we should be looking for. I've sat in certain meetings and I've seen God move in certain places. And I even think during some of our church services, I've seen God move. And I want to see it more. I want to hear God speak to our hearts in an even greater way. And there's been some times when I've sat in certain church services and the Lord's just opened up my heart so much that I just want more and more. I want to hear from Him. And that happens when we pray. And that happens when we come with a clean heart. That happens when we come seeking Him. There's promises in the Bible for all those type of things. And they heard Him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man." Hearing is not just enough. You have to hear Him. You got a desire to hear from God. You got a desire to want the things of the Lord. And this is the next phrase here. It says, not only did the common people heard him, but think about this, the common people heard him gladly. They heard him gladly. Are you happy to hear what the Lord's trying to say to you? Sometimes it's hard to hear. Sometimes it's not fun. When you've been doing something for year upon year upon year upon year, and you're challenged and provoked by the Lord to get rid of something, that should be one of the greatest things in your whole entire life. "I've been doing something wrong for all these years, and God wants me to change that. I am sorrowful for all the years that I've done this, and you know what? I need to change, and gladly God has revealed this unto me. Now I'm going to change it all and never have a problem with it again." But that's not usually what happens. Instead, we become like our original father, Adam. When sin is convicted in our hearts, we turn around and say, "Well, I act that way because a serpent made me do it, or because my wife made me do it, or because that church member made me do it, or that guy at work made me do it." Instead of focusing and hearing from Him and receiving it gladly, instead we turn around and we make it about everything else, but instead that God is trying to speak to me. And the common people, they heard, but not only did they hear, they heard Him, but not only did they hear Him, they heard Him gladly. The religious leaders, the scribes, they were respected, but in God's eyes, they missed it all. You think about it. They were there. They were the religious leaders, those scribes, those Pharisees. In everybody else's eyes, they were the one that you should look to. But in God's eyes, they were missing everything. They missed it all. And that's the thought today, is we want to see things the way that God sees them. We cannot continue to try to see things the way that man sees them, because we're going to fail and we're going to think this person's right and this person's right, and there's going to be a bunch of, people complaining and people thinking this way is the best way and this way is the best way. And that's based off a lot of personal preference. It's based off of what your own experiences are and where you grew up at, all those different things, fine and great. But what does the Bible say? And when what the Bible says here is saying that they were missing everything. They missed it all. They were willing to, the Herodians were willing to yoke up with the Pharisees, and Pharisees were willing to work with the scribes. They were willing to do whatever they could to try to get rid of Jesus. They missed the whole point. What is truth? And so how does God see these people? God sees these scribes and He says, look, you need to beware of them, because the way what they want to wear and what they want to hear and where they want to sit and all these long prayers that everybody says, oh, there's something special. And God says, no, that stuff makes me sick. And can you imagine why the common people actually received that gladly? Could you imagine following after people that took advantage of widow ladies, who would expect you to say, hey, you need to call me this, or expect that, hey, I'm going to go sit in the front row and kick anybody out that does not have as much priority of me? I mean, wouldn't that make us sick? It would make me sick. But have we seen that before? We have seen that before. That's why we need to be careful, and we need to understand. That's why we need to be aware of those that are loving other things instead of loving God. And I enjoy it sometimes when I get to meet people and they don't know I'm a pastor. I love talking to them, because sometimes people change when they're talking to a pastor. I love to be able to minister to people and just be able to have a conversation. I love being a pastor. But many times when I introduce myself around here, I introduce myself as Brian. They don't really find out that I'm the pastor until I come up front and I stand up here, because I want to get to know the person and make them feel welcome, not because I think I'm anything more higher than they are. I'm one of the common people. We're all sinners. If we've been saved by grace. And I'm thankful for that, but we got to remember the common people heard him gladly. And I think one of the reasons why they heard gladly is like a breath of fresh air. You need to be careful. These are not things that are right. These are not things that are good. These are things that everybody looked up to and say, oh, look at that cloth. Look at that clothes. That's something we should want to be. Someday you could wear one of those. No, it should be, where's Jesus? I want to be like him someday, even if it means I'm not the highest and if it means I'm not the most important. Jesus chose to do what? He chose not to even have a place to pillow his head at night. He chose to do what? He chose to take on the form of a servant. He did all those things. He could have had the highest position of the highest, and someday he will spend all eternity with that. But if when we try to do all these things, we miss it. If we don't know God, everything's in vain. So how do we respond to the preaching and teaching? The disciple gets kind of grin and bear it. Oh, yeah, and he's preaching about that again. Hear what God is trying to say to you. Doesn't matter who the messenger is. Hear what God's trying to speak to your heart. Hear what he is saying and receive it gladly. What has happened to Christianity that is joyful? What has happened to Christianity when people receive the word that we've heard it from the Lord? Consider the difference between these scribes and these people that are the common people. One is receiving it gladly. The other is missing it all. Don't miss what God's trying to say. Common people, they heard, and that is important. We all must hear. We must all be a part. We must all listen. We must all be in a place where we can read our Bibles and understand what God is trying to say to us. We must all be in spots where we're hearing the Word of God on a regular basis, whether through preaching, through podcasts, coming to services, you know, whether reading the Bible for ourselves, studying, meditating. We must want to fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God. But these scribes, they heard the exact same things, but they never heard him. They heard everything that went along so they could pick things apart. They would even bring back things later on and say, hey, you said this when they were trying to convict him in the trials. Hey, did you say this? You know, da, da, da. And they weren't listening to hear him. They were just listening to hear. Listen to hear from God. When you come to church, God, speak to me today. And then whatever he says, receive it joyfully. Receive it joyfully. Okay, God, if that's what you want, even sometimes if it hurts, it's still what God desires for your heart and what God desires for your life is something we should say, if that's what you want, Lord, I'm going to receive it. I'm going to do it joyfully or gladly. So as we finish up today, just consider for a moment when he says in verse number 38, beware of the scribes, which love, and then they begin talking about loving this, loving that, loving this, loving that. What do we love today? They didn't love God. They loved their position. They loved what it brought them. They loved how they could dress. They loved how people had to talk highly about them. They loved being able to have the best seats. They loved even these long prayers. They didn't care who they used to hurt other people. And sometimes when we watch, we must understand, be careful. Does somebody showing that they love the Lord through their actions? Are they showing that they're loving God with the way that you say the dress, obviously, that I think that's a sign to show that you love the Lord, because I think we should dress for the Lord. I think that's what we should. You say, well, I dress look good. Well, you know what? If that's okay, if you're going to dress for the Lord, too, because everything we do, we should dress for the Lord. And that means it should be the right type of clothing. But whether it's our dressing, whether it's the way we ask people to respond to us, whether it's where we position ourselves in this world, or whether it's how we treat those that are vulnerable, or even when we have the opportunity to encourage people through praying. That's what the pretense, the long prayers. Those different things, seek someone who's going to love God in that. Not themselves, not how they can manipulate things and make themselves look good and have everything happen the way they want it to happen. But instead, I love the Lord, and whatever he wants, I'm willing to do. It's all in how God sees things. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says this. Most of you will know this when they were talking about David and whether he should be the one, should be king. The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. He saw the heart of all these people, and some missed God completely. Others received the word gladly. Hear him gladly today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, I pray that you would help me to receive your word gladly, even in those areas of things that you want us to work on. Lord, oftentimes those are things that we want to try to ignore or just want to push down. Instead, help us to receive them and receive them gladly. Lord, also help us to beware of those who are not living for you, those who love other things more than you. And Lord, help us to not ignore them or treat them badly. That'd be opposite of what Christ shows us in this passage. But instead, help us to be aware that there are people out there, sometimes even in leadership positions, even people who say that they're religious, that really do not have your best interest at heart. Lord, help us to love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And learn also how to love our neighbors as ourselves. Help the service to follow, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.